If I wasn't working the hours I was working before in corporate, I felt like I was like not working. When I first became an entrepreneur and I went on a hike or do yoga or something during the day, I was like, do I even have a job? Like, what is happening? Right? Welcome to the Daring Dreams podcast. This is your host, Haley Bowen, and I am here with one of my favorite managers that I've ever had in my entire life. And I'm so pleased to introduce you to Sue Olin. Sue actually just started her own business not too long ago, and now we're like entrepreneurial buddies. She's got a lot to say, and she's got a huge background in corporate marketing, as well as leadership and strategy and high level that she's bringing to her business. So I'm going to let Sue introduce you to her business and herself, and then we're going to have a really awesome conversation about why she did it, why she started this business, how she released the golden handcuffs, the bravery that went into that, the hurdles, the personal problems, like all the stuff that goes in with like actually being ready to remove those golden handcuffs. I went through it, and I want to talk to my dear friend about it for her as well. Sue,
Yay! I'm so
welcome.
excited to be here. That was so kind because you have been always one of my faves too. I mean, we have so many laughs and we have so many learnings together that I love. I love that we're both entrepreneurs now.
I know, me too. I think entrepreneurship is like one of the best personal development gifts that you can give yourself.
Oh,
So,
yes.
yeah. And I know, I think it's awesome. Okay, so before we jump into like all the good juicy stuff, tell us about what is it that you do now? What's your company name and what do you do?
So my company name is called Is Good People Business Consulting. And it's funny, I always like to explain it because throughout my career, I've always said, I just want to do good work with good people. Can I just do good work with good people? And so when I left, I was like, I wonder what a good name would be. And it just really represented who I am and why I laugh. So that's my business. And my services are more small, medium businesses who need business leadership type things. So I've had a lot of corporate experience. And I say I laugh because I really wanted to work with businesses who needed me and want me to care about their business because I overcared for a really long time. And so all this great experience that I have to bring to people. So things like strategic business plans, or I call them disciplined business operations. So just really, if you think of like COO stuff, like high level HR, how to actually do a business plan and also do annual plans that feed up into the business strategy. Those are things where I love and I really like kind of geek out in that area. So it kind of encompasses a lot of things, which is good for smaller, medium businesses who may not have those skills. They know they're an expert in their business, but not in running a business. That's how I kind of explain it. And then the other thing I do is coach, so people leadership. I'm more leaning into this right now. I loved working with teams and trying to develop people. And throughout my career, when I ended, that's really where my passion lie. So I love that aspect of it. And I call mine kind of like business therapy. So there's a lot of leaders out there or leadership coaches, whereas I like to help people and make the most impact in the moment, because I say it's like personalized and curated because everyone is at a different stage. Everyone is in a different industry, in a different organization. And so I like to really meet people where they are in that growth. Think of it as, you know, going to therapy. You have your list of things that you want to talk about. It's that same thing. So how do I have this troubled relationship and we're having communication problems, or my leader isn't a great leader, or they've not taught me my discipline? Like I don't even know how to grow and coach. So
Right.
that's kind of the coaching that I do. So that's what I do right now. I take
Fun.
everything that I learned in coaching and now bring it to people who might need those skills.
Tell me, why did you decide to do this after so many years in corporate?
I feel like I've gone back, I've analyzed this a little bit. And when I went back and did my MBA, I took an entrepreneurship course and I really loved it. Like, I didn't think I would. Like, that's not who I was, but I really loved that course. And
Yeah, because
then going,
entrepreneurship, let me just, because I know you. Entrepreneurship is like major risk taking.
Yes.
That doesn't
And
sound
I'm
like
not. Is that where
you.
you're going? I know. I am so not, it still scares me every single day. So yes, it's, I'll tell you how I got to this point. So
Okay.
it's funny going through corporate because I worked at some very corporate places. I always felt like I talk about overcaring, like I cared so much. I really wanted to make impact where I was with both people and with, you know, the work that I was doing. But there was always like a stopping point, right? There's only so much that I could change or so much impact I could make. And there were times where I felt like I was being inauthentic to myself, like maybe my values a bit, and not that any place ever crossed a line, but just I felt like my values sometimes were always rubbing up. And so I just kind of always felt at odds or that there was only so much I could do. Flash forward to like the last place that I was, I really want to state, I loved every place I worked. I loved the work that I was doing and I loved the people that I was doing it with. But it's more of the size of the organization and the impact I could have. So when I got to my last place, I really had felt like I had done a lot in my career. Like I was really fortunate in my career. You know, I grew from an independent leader to like executive, had a ton of learning, was given so much responsibility. It was fantastic. And I felt like there was no more impact that I could be making in those places. And to be honest, I kind of was pushed a little bit to it because I had some personal loss. My sister had just passed away. My dad had an illness. I realized that I was stressing out in my life about things that I shouldn't be stressed out about. Those two really were the things that kind of pushed me, because you're right. Me being a risk taker, I would never have foreseen that. But I decided to put my money where my mouth was, is that if I was that unhappy and I've been telling other people and supporting other people that I should do it myself. So that's really why I took the leap. I would say to you that maybe if I had thought about it a little harder, I would never have done it.
Scary.
I would have thought like, what did I do? But I don't regret it for a minute. Like I really don't. I get so much joy out of helping people with things that might come easy to me. Again, they're experts in their business comes easily to them. But if I can bring a piece of that to someone, oh my goodness, it's like the best thing ever. And I get joy every day. I get to work with good people and do some really great work.
Good.
So that's a bit of
I
it.
Love
yeah,
that.
That's why.
That.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What would you say is the purpose of your business? Why does good people exist?
It's to empower confidence is where I've come down. And that's confidence in both your business, really. You know, getting confidence and having disciplined business, but also in you as a person. And that's why that coaching aspect, and it is through focus and clarity. That's really, sometimes I was playing along with the lines like, I reduce chaos, like, because until you hone in on those things and make them intentional, that's how I feel like I've got my confidence. The more intentional I got with things, like understanding my values in creating a plan, in living that plan, the more confidence I had, you know, once you create a disciplined strategic plan, you're more confident. So that's really the purpose. That's the purpose of good people is to instill confidence. And that can be people and that can be your business.
I love that. And actually, I think it's the same thing with my business. I mean, that's not the purpose of my business. But when you have clarity, the confidence just comes, right? Because you know your next step, you know your next move and why you're doing it. And I think it's so important for small businesses to get that clarity in their overall business operations, which is what you do, but also in their marketing, which is what I do. So like, you're like the COO, I'm the CMO. So like, you guys need help. Like we are the two.
That's right. We are the team. And we know we work well together. We've already done it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me, you started this business. What are some of the like unexpected hurdles or challenges that came up that maybe you weren't really prepared for?
I mean, there's a laundry list of them. It is like, I mean, first of all, you have to know, because back to your point, I'm like, I probably wasn't prepared for entrepreneurship. Like there's really no one in my family that's done it. So it's not like I saw this modeled, right? So one of them is, these are in no particular order.
Yeah.
But that comes to mind is having to like promote myself because I'm my business. And that is the worst thing for me. I hate talking about myself. I don't like pictures taken. Like I literally don't like doing it. And you have to do it. So it's really uncomfortable. So that would be my first. And I still haven't cracked it. Like I have an Instagram account and it's so painful for me to go on there and talk. because it's just not natural. So it's not natural to me. So promoting myself.
I think that most entrepreneurs, most of them, at least that I've worked with, that's been one of the major hurdles, right? Which is why we need to get really authentic with our marketing. By not marketing yourself, you are doing a disservice to the people. And so even though it's challenging and awkward sometimes, if you think of it that way, because if you truly believe that what you're doing is helping somebody, believe in what you're doing, by being too modest or embarrassed or whatever to get out there, you're actually hurting the very people that you want to help.
I love that. I am so about mindset. And I love that you've just stated that because it's true, because it came really easily to me when I was at corporate, right? Because that was part of that was just me naturally doing what I was doing. But me stepping out of that now in that is that it's really difficult, but mindset is everything. I love that you reframe it that way, because I think it's a really important point to make. And I will take that one away. I'm going to take that point.
See, take
always
that
learning from Haley. Always learning from Haley. The second hurdle was a personal hurdle. It's about redefining success. So growing up, you know, I'm of that age where, you know, success was graduate high school, you go to university, you get a job, you get like promoted, like that's success, right?
Yeah.
And so when I became executive and I left that role, I was so caught up in who I was. And that's defining success, not from an ego as in a boastful way. I just mean like I felt really great in the role. I felt like I was leading a great team and doing some great work. And so without that corporate lens, I had to like figure out, well, what does success mean anymore to me? So that has also been a hurdle of just now that I'm an entrepreneur and things look differently, I have to figure out redefining success for myself. So
that's interesting.
That was another big one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess mine wasn't so much success, but more identity. Like when I left my role, it was like an identity crisis. It was like, who am I? Because I, at that time when I left, I was in what I thought was my dream job. And I left to stay home with the kids. I didn't leave to start a business. And I think I was equating that role with like who I was, like it was like part of who I was. That was tough. And then, you know, I mean, that was a decade ago now for me, but but redefining success. And I love as an entrepreneur that you can actually redefine success over and over and over and over again. And nobody can tell you your definition is incorrect, right?
Right. I read this one about like running a race and like, why are we all thinking we have to run the same rate? Like we're all, and it really resonated with me, is that like, that's right. Why am I still having to figure out like, or keep up with thinking that's success? Like I can define it however I want. And to your point, if next year I want to define it differently, I define it differently. Yeah. You know, it is an interesting concept, but I do get your identity as well, because I think that was also a piece of it. Like, because I feel like we've been conditioned in our life to, or at least some of us of a certain generation, and maybe families, and maybe it's different, but there are certain ways that are definition of success and who we are. And we do get caught up in that. So that was another.
And I also got caught up in the same vein, is I got caught up in, if I wasn't working the hours I was working before in corporate, I felt like I was like not working. So today I went on a hike, and I'm okay with it now, because I've been an entrepreneur for 10 years now. So I'm okay with it now. But like when I first became an entrepreneur and I went on, like would go on a hike or do yoga or something during the day, I was like, do I even have a job? Like, what is happening?
I know. We are so the same person. Like I literally, okay. So I'll admit, I was talking to my therapist and I said something about productive. Like I don't feel like I have to be at the office 5 days a week and I have to be there in a certain times. And she's like, or I don't feel productive. And she goes, well, tell me a bit more about that. And I was like, why did I say that? But that is how I also, then I had to go deep into that. But anyway, I do feel the same. It's a hard mindset to get out of when you're used to it. Now, I do like to leave the house. Like I do have an office. I do like to leave the house, but I'm now just starting to get into that where like, I'm going to stay home Mondays and Fridays and work there. And maybe I won't work as long, and that's okay. That's
Yes.
okay.
Okay. Tell me, do you have any more like things that hurdles or challenges that you were not aware was going to happen?
I mean, there's little things like, okay, maybe it's not a little thing, like the whole accounting thing, and
Oh, yes.
like it's like painful. So like that's not even fun to talk about.
No.
But that was a hurdle because I thought I was an organized person, and clearly I'm not. But understanding that whole world.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't organized, and clearly I'm
Oh.
not.
Well, I thought I was, and I'm not. Like, so that whole thing of getting used to that, and sorry, okay, now I've got a whole bunch coming out. So that's one. And then the fourth is about time management. So I've always been great at time management when I had a corporate job, because I knew I had parameters. Like I knew the meetings, I knew the things. But when you're an entrepreneur, a new project comes in, and you're like, okay, now how do I structure my day? How many clients can I take on? How many? So that was a big learning too.
Yeah,
That was a big learning.
I went through near burnout twice in my business over the years, and I've had to stop taking clients completely at those two times because I overcommitted myself. And I think that happens with a lot of entrepreneurs. Sometimes you grow a little bit faster than you think you're going to grow. You don't have the operation set up, you don't have the team set up. And so when that happened to me, I was like, okay, I'm going to hire an admin. I'm going to hire another coach to work with me. And then it became a huge struggle because then I had to train them and I didn't have time to train them. And so then I went from working, 12-hour days to 15-hour days, just trying to keep up. And then you have to give feedback. And so I think, what you do for a living is probably helps people from getting to that point, I would think. And I needed you like early in my career because I had no idea. And it's like, oh, somebody wants to hire me. Yay. Right. Because you're a new business. Like, you don't want to say no to anything.
And when's the next one coming? So I have to take, right? So it is that. And I was fortunate. I did get some advice before I left, or I did ask, maybe I had already left probably, because I think I did that. And then went out seeking some advice of how best to structure things. And one of the best pieces of advice was know what you're going to say no to. The other piece was that you think you have this many hours a week, you probably take off 10 for admin and all that other kind of stuff, and you don't want to actually work the same amount. Like there was a lot of learnings of those types of things, so that my mindset could make sure I didn't hit that point of burnout. But it is that juggle of, okay, now I need to take these clients, and I've got a couple bigger clients, but then when that ends, you still want the filter, so like that funnel coming in. So it is an interesting, it's an interesting juggle.
And I know a lot of people, it does affect your marketing, right? Because for small businesses, the more consistent you are with your marketing, as long as it's like good marketing that's effective and people understand it and clear, the more consistent you are, the more people are going to come in, right? And so what happens a lot of the times is people get to a point where they're like, okay, I'm at my capacity. So unless I'm ready to grow my team, I need to ease off on the marketing. Well, when you ease off on the marketing, then you
They go
have to
somewhere
almost
else.
start again, right? Like when the funnel, so it's this weird for business owners, it is a weird thought to kind of get through that, like, I don't know what you call it. It's like that it's like a hump of like right before you're ready to hire people for your team, there's this weird hump that is really sometimes hard to get through.
To manage through on a whole bunch of ways. Hours trying to think of,
It's like you're like max capacity, your marketing needs to keep going. If it keeps going, you're gonna have to say no to people. And so it's just this weird, So I always tell people, believe that your marketing is going to work and prepare for that.
And at least I know I was talking to a young business owner, and I said that, like, you have to do your forecast, right? Like make sure you're forecasting out from a resource, like how much before I need to then take people on, like, and then have that. And that's where I go with, like, some people don't know that. And that's the great part about having a coach or going to someone, is that having those kind of tips is like, oh, okay, of course, but I would never have thought of doing that, right? Probably eventually she would have got there, but to do it ahead of time. But those are those growing pains, and just being able to see a little bit out of your business so you can prepare for it.
Let's talk about coaches for a second. So I have just hired a coach to help me. Actually, I bought into this program that they were teaching me how to build a sales team and different things. Anyways, what a weird experience to be on the other side of the coaching table. Like, I was scared. And now I understand. Now I understand. So people were always nervous when they started with me. And I would always say, this is going to be a good client because they told me they're scared. If they were terrified, I'm like, oh, they're going to be good. Because for whatever reason, all the clients that I had that were scared, like soared, right? And so then I got scared. And I was like, oh, that means I'm going to soar. But yeah, it's awkward at first to get a coach, I think. I know you, like, people really want one. And now that I actually have a coach after being on my own for 10 years, I wish I had gotten a coach earlier. Like, I dabbled in it a little bit, but nothing on a consistent basis. It's so good to be held accountable, to have a second opinion, to fill in the gaps where you aren't strong. Like,
yes.
Like, I cannot say enough about beauty of hiring a coach, whether it's a marketing coach or an operational or HR or whatever. If you're a small business, I think that is an investment well worth it. So,
yeah, I agree. You know what the beauty other thing is that I love about it is that it is so personal who you go to, topic specific, like depending on what you're looking for, a generalist, a topic specific, even just how the rapport is. And I love that you say like people who were really nervous, because I think those are the keeners, right? Those are the people who really want to coach. And that is like, I talk also about success. Success for me as a coach is if the person is successful and implementing the tools that we're doing, like, and using. Yeah. And I say that both on the work that, you know, I do, is that it's great. We can create all the, do all this work, but if you don't actually put it into action, you're not successful and I'm not successful. Like that's not successful for me. You're not going to walk away going, oh, Sue did this great thing, because it's sitting on a shelf. But the coaching is so personal. So I love that you've got that fit. And like I say, if you are excited about or nervous and scared, it means you're ready to have a coach, I think, and you're prepared to do the work.
Yeah. Because so if you weren't nervous or scared, I guess it means that you don't think something big is going to change.
Right.
Right. Like if you're,
or you're just not in it for the actual tools, right? To actual change.
Yeah. That's interesting. That might be my new mandatory question. Are you scared to work with me? If yes,
that's a new line.
Let's put that on
our
intake forms.
I like that. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
So Sue was my manager at the first creative agency that I ever worked at. Very good manager. Like she gave me confidence in myself. And I think that, like, also as a coach, right, that's something that a coach can give, because we don't have, like, as an entrepreneur, you as a business owner, you don't have a manager anymore, or you don't have a manager. And so sometimes you need that person that you can go to and, you know, throw your like papers on the table and be like, I'm so mad, or, you know, I'm so upset, or I can't figure this out. It's nice to have that person. So
it is. It's always nice to have that person.
Yeah. And it's not always like your significant other or like your best friend who wants to hear about your business challenges.
That's right. And can I just make one comment about that? Because I think it's really important is that, you know, we work, or people, like, depending on where you work and what you do, like, you spend a lot of time at work, and it affects everything. It affects your mental health. It affects your wellness. Like, we talk about wellness in general, like your health. And so it's kind of seen as normal, or getting to be normal, to go to a therapist for personal things. It's like, it's, you know, you can talk to your spouse or your partner about your day-to-day and the day-to-day, but do they know the intricacies of things and how things, and do they want to hear about it every day? Or
and can they actually
friends?
Help you?
And like, exactly. Can
is their advice valid? Like, Troy gets so mad at me when I don't listen to him. He's like, why are you asking for my advice when you never take it? And I'm like, I'm not really asking for your advice. I'm just kind of like talking it loud. But
yeah.
You know, just give
but
me
I want
a
you to
because
listen.
I'm never going to listen to you because you don't know anything about marketing.
Right. And that was the thing with my husband. He didn't know either. And so you want to solve these problems. Like, you need to talk through these problems. So just as much as that we spend a lot of time, I guess my point is we spend a lot of time at our office or on our business or on whatever that in. And if you don't have that manager, and sometimes even if you do have the manager that isn't, you want an objective person. You want a comp, like someone who's going to also though tell you the really reals, I call it the really reals, yeah. tell you the really reals and help you solve it, not give you the answers, but help you get the tools so that next time you bring those tools to the table too, right?
Yeah.
So you're learning tools to help you. So
yeah. Very, very interesting. Okay. So tell me a little bit about when you decided to start the business.
Mm-hmm.
What was the initial vision or dream for the business? How long have you been in business now? 2 years?
Okay. So officially 3.
Okay.
However, I like to say a year and a half because when I left, it was Nova Scotia Power that I was at. And when I left, they actually hired me on and they were my first client. So
okay.
because I was finishing off part of the portfolio that I had. So I can't really say that was my false security a little bit. So
yeah.
I say I'm about a year and a half in. How about
okay.
that?
Okay.
Yeah.
So from your initial vision or dream, mm-hmm. you wanted this business to look like to now,
yeah.
is it the same? Has it evolved?
I feel like I had a vision. And my initial one was to do, I really, I haven't placed a lot of emphasis on the coaching. I mean, in the last 6 months, I guess I have, but that's the portfolio I thought I would be right out of the gate with, like
yeah.
that piece of it. And then my second piece was about, you know, working with the more of the small business and doing some kind of workshopping. So then I feel like the longer I got in it, I moved away from the coaching. Because some of the business stuff came up. And eventually I've circled all the way back to almost my original vision. So
okay.
it's kind of funny
that
how
happened.
I moved. Yeah, I moved a little bit away from it, but then somehow it came back. And even my initial thoughts of how I would organize or how I would hold my leadership, like I started in a place, kind of kept rethinking it, overthinking it, doing too much
yeah.
thinking about it, and then stopped overthinking about it. And then I hit like literally my notes. Oh, I started with that. Like it's actually hilarious
yeah.
that I ended right back where I was. But I feel like that's a normal thing. I feel
I
like
think
it's kind of normal to not really know
we
at the
question,
beginning.
Right? We're like, is this?
Yes.
Like there's just so many opportunities. And I had this conversation with a client the other day. She's like, she was very upset. And she's like, I just feel like there's nothing, like, I don't know what to do. I've done this and this and this. And like, I feel like I don't know what to do now to grow beyond where I am. And like, she's super successful in her small business. It's almost a medium business. Like, it's a good business. And I said, well, you have access to so many different avenues. Like you've done that, but like in business, like there's so many different lines of business you could do. There's so many ways to expand. There's so many like it's infinite, the number of ways to be successful in business. You just have
yeah.
to find the one that is authentic and ties to you. So like if
right.
you do not like Instagram, Sue Oland,
yes,
then
I know.
There's other marketing avenues that could overfill your capacity quite easily, but you have to choose a different lane instead of just doing what you think you have to do. Or should do.
I know.
Right?
That's a problem. You do. And it's so, I love that you say that too, because a couple things. So if I remember a couple things, be the authentic. Like I remember doing the old circle of what am I good at? What do, you know, what's my passion and what do people need? Right? Like I did that.
Yeah.
And that's why for me, simplifying down to business leadership in these areas, like the discipline business, creating plan and strat plan, and then the people coaching. Like that's really clear on my two offerings. So I love that you say that authentic to you though, because I feel like those ones I can stand behind.
Yeah.
But the whole thing of like thinking of what I have to do is also a problem of mine. Like I also feel like that is a problem of mine a little bit. And I'm still working through that one.
Like what do you mean by that?
So I feel like from a coaching perspective, I should have a presence on Instagram and mostly just so people
okay.
can see me, right? Because I yep. think it's a really personal, it's a personal thing. So I want people to see me, to hear me, to get where I'm like, what are my values? What is important and who I am?
Yeah.
But yet I'm go on and talk. Like, I mean, you and I are talking because it's a conversation. It's so much easier
yes.
and authentic to me. I always say if I meet someone in person, like put me in front of someone, great. but put me in a place that I feel not natural for me, it's difficult. So that's my point, is that a lot of people are out there on Instagram and
so how do you make Instagram natural for you? You just said have conversations with people, right? And so when I started getting on purpose, I had a live show that I did every week, and it was like interviewing people. It was similar to this, but it was like live. It was easy for me because I literally like just talked to people and, you know, pulled information out. And so it was fun and authentic, and people got to know me. And then I started doing them. Well, actually, I started by myself doing them, but then I started adding people. And anyways, there could be opportunity. And instead of doing reels and like stuff like that, you cater to who you are and you do, you know, live interviews or whatever instead.
Yes. And so I've started to dabble in that. I know there's so many shoulds. There's so many shoulds.
The only real should, I think, in marketing is you should find something that feels good and authentic to you, and you should do it consistently.
I know. That's the second piece. I mean, you know, there's been a few things going on, so I have not been consistent, but I do know that it is about consistency and no matter what you do. So whoever's listening, I totally agree. I'm just not living that right now.
And I'm not living that. Like, honestly, I'm not living that because
I know
I'm too busy. And this is that weird hump that I was just talking about earlier in the show, is like, I'm busy to market my business, but I'm not, like, it's just this weird spot, but I want to. And for me, it's even more important because, like, if my marketing sucks, who's going to want to hire a marketing coach that do any marketing, right?
But aren't we our own worst clients? Aren't we saying that? Isn't that what it is? Like the hairdressers, like their own, don't look at their or their nails, or, you know, people's, because they can't take care of themselves because they're worrying about taking care of everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So who is your most ideal customer? So people can self-identify.
Okay. So I would say it's definitely, I would say the working woman is first of all, who I'd say is really who I would lean into, and those who are looking to transform. So either their business, and somehow they've realized that they're at a growing stage, they're at a stage of friction, something has happened from a business and they know they need to try and get things intuitively, or as a people, like, so you've been in your career for a while, you're not sure where you're going, or you're a young leader and you're looking to grow and develop. So it's about kind of that transformational moment, a moment of that you feel some spin or some friction. But I do like to say the working woman, because that can be solopreneur, it can be a corporate, you know, someone in called the corporate
somebody in a leadership
world
type role.
Someone in leadership. I tend to shy away from executive. Mostly, if I look at people management, it's more managers and directors that I feel I can make the biggest impact. Well, there's many executives that I feel needed. I don't think they're always open to actually it. Whereas I feel like managers and directors, they touch the most people,
right,
and make an impact on people. And I think that they are the ones on a day-to-day that probably have a higher struggle, like that struggle on a more daily basis with things that I can make the most impact with in the immediate.
Right.
So, So working woman, looking to kind of in a transformational state, probably managers, but also again, small businesses. I've worked with a lot of solo businesses to help them get some discipline, but again, mostly in a transformative stage. They've reached some growth. There's some, they don't have those processes down. They don't have even like things like job descriptions or things of understanding hiring or plain interviewing. So any kind of moment of transition or transformation that they're feeling some friction. And that's, I think, where I meet them.
Okay. I love that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. So you have kind of two separate type people, people who would want the coaching, who are in a managerial role, managing people. And then the person who like needs to figure out the processes and structure and business plans, and like who's in a leadership role in defining the direction and stuff of
a business.
That makes sense. Yeah. No, that makes sense to me. So I'm going to ask one more question. One more question. I make it a really good one. Okay. So my last question is going to be a marketing related question. This is a marketing podcast. What are you doing from a marketing perspective that you think is working the best for you?
Okay. So I'm not sure this will be for everybody, because I don't follow a lot of the traditional, is that to be honest, at this stage of my career, the best thing that I'm doing right now is actually reaching out to a network, my network.
Yes.
And even just explaining what I'm doing now. And as I say, I'm better in front of people. And then them actually telling, oh, I have this person. And this is the person I know because I know who she is. I know what she can deliver. And I was terrified to do that.
Yes.
I was terrified to reach out to a list of people who have always been my supporters or, you know, peers. And I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do it.
Because I know,
because
you're
back
asking
to,
for help.
Yes. And I don't want to put people in that position. Like, so, but what I've done is found my way. And I think this is a really back to circling with everything we're talking about with marketing, and we're talking about authenticity and being authentic to you, is that I'm doing it in my way. So in, I just want to have a coffee, or here's who I am and this is what I'm doing. Authentic, if you know of anyone. So there's no pressure. Like, I find it in my way to do it, and I want to be of value and however that makes it. But I think it's important, one, to reach out to that network, because to
that's
be honest, it has, it's
lowest
the lowest
fruit.
And for me, the hardest, the lowest, the easiest, but the hardest. And it has proven
probably
successful.
The most beneficial, though.
The most beneficial. And I should have done it a while ago.
Okay.
And I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Procrastinate with it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say that
if I ever did it, I remember when I first started, I did a live episode on podcasts, or not podcasts, sorry, on networking,
yes.
And how, like,
oh,
I really don't like networking. Like, I'm the least political person you will ever meet. That's why I did not love corporate. I felt like I had to be very political. I had to, like, be rallying for position, and, like, not my style at all. And so networking, when I first started out, I did not enjoy it at all. I was putting a lot of pressure on myself. I didn't want to talk about what I did. I was felt salesy. Like, it was like the worst. But what you're doing is different. You're actually talking to people that you know, who know of your work, know of your reputation, and they're your people. So
there are people.
Yeah.
So added on to that, just so networking your people, but, or going to my network of people, and then networking, I will also say, has also proven successful.
Okay.
As painful as it is. And as someone had said, don't put yourself in the corner. And of course I look around and where am I in the corner? And I made myself
go out.
Nobody
puts baby in the corner.
No, puts baby. I know. Isn't that the first thing that comes to our mind? And I did it. And I also was proven successful there. And so that's, for me, authentic. Even though networking doesn't feel authentic to me and the others, is the moment I can be face to face with someone is my best marketing tool.
Yes.
And that's just for me.
100%.
And it's for the service that I do. So yeah.
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 Yeah,
marketing,
it's fine. This is a great lesson from this episode, is to find what, play to your strengths, find what feels authentic, find what feels good, and do that consistently.
Right.
Right. And stop trying to do other things that don't feel good, or just because other people are doing them.
Yes.
You can cook
100%
on a barbecue, on a frying pan, in an oven. Like, there's so many ways, right?
And it does capture back to your point about this is a marketing, is that that would be the biggest piece, whether you're marketing yourself, whether you're marketing a product, whether you're marketing like a service, whatever it might be, is to be authentic and do it in the most authentic way to you. Be authentic, do it authentically.
Yes.
I mean, I always say, as long as you're authentic, never, you can always look at yourself in the mirror, and nothing will ever keep you up at night. And that's been my guiding principle, I think. Right back to, like, the CCL days, like, integrity and my character have always been the number one. And so if I can remain true to that, then
everything will work out. And
everything will
and you
work
deserve
out.
To be in the company called Good People. Okay. Well, we could talk all day. I'm definitely going to have Sue back on this podcast another time, because Sue and I can just chat all day, and I'm sure we'll come up with something interesting for you.
Yes, we have lots of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
As you said, we should have captured the beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the
Conversation.
before conversation would have made a great podcast too. Do you want to tell people how to get in touch with you?
Goodpeopleconsultants.com. Same Good People Consultants on Instagram. Or sue at goodpeopleconsultants.com.
Okay, my friends, we will see you next time, or you'll hear us next time on Daring Dreams. Have a great day. Bye.